good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, May 31st, 2019. A South Sudanese official reacts to the move by the UN Security Council to renew arms embargo.
And if you apply the arms embargo on the government of South Sudan, it means that you are actually paving the way for the rebels who have not signed the agreement and who are being supported by the very people who are writing these strategy reports.
And the Ugandan ambassador to the United States says refugees improve local economies in his country.
We give them freedom. They can move anywhere in the country. And if they are lucky to get some jobs, they can go and do those jobs. Others go into enterprises. Some succeed. No Ugandan will meet someone and say, you are a refugee, don't do this.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The Kiir administration is criticizing the UN Security Council's move to renew sanctions on South Sudan for another year, including an arms embargo. Five of the 15 Security Council's members abstained, including three African countries. A South Sudanese official says sanctions could affect the implementation of the revitalized peace deal. Dimo Silva Aurelio reports for VOA from Juba.
Last year, after repeated failed attempts, the Security Council imposed sanctions on South Sudan following 5 years of fighting that has caused hundreds of thousands of deaths and massive displacement of civilians. The Council says the decision will pressure the government to implement the peace deal. South Sudan Information Minister Michael Makui charges those who voted in favor of the sanctions opposed peace in South Sudan.
The rebels are there still, we have agreed, but there are rebels who are fighting the government. And if you apply the arms embargo on the government of South Sudan, it means that you are actually paving the way for the rebels who have not signed the agreement and who are being supported by the very people who are writing these strategy reports in order to weaken the government so that it is overrun by the opposition.
Makui also charged that the sanctions will weaken the government and embolden the hold-out groups.
It is being used as a weapon against the government of South Sudan so that it is weakened. Then definitely that is not acceptable. Because after all, the opposition, it is not all the opposition groups that have signed the agreement. Any arms embargo at this time is an anti-peace move so that people go into crisis again.
Makui says the government of South Sudan is implementing the peace agreement and has all rights as a sovereign country to acquire its own arms.
We should be put in a position to defend ourselves, because when you talk of arms embargo, you don't just apply the arms embargo because you are fighting someone, whether outside or inside, but for your own protection, for your own self-defense. You have the right to acquire arms as a government.
Juba resident Bidal Peter says continuing the sanctions will save innocent lives and prevent the government from using funds to buy more weapons.
South Sudanese are killing themselves with the guns that are bought. Especially we have like the finance which is supposed to help the people of South Sudan. This finance is going for weapons, you see. And people are dying.
Peter says the government's money should be used instead for fixing the country's bad roads and improving the country's health and education sector.
When you look at the education sector, very poor. When you look at the health sector, very poor. Now, why can't we inject this money? We inject this money instead of buying weapons, we inject this money to education.
South Africa, Ivory Coast, Equatorial Guinea, China all abstained from voting. The measure passed as it needed. Only 9 positive votes and no veto. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
Uganda's ambassador to the United States says his government's policy towards refugees helps local communities' economies while ensuring refugees can continue living in Uganda. Ayen Dengbior has more from Washington.
Uganda is the largest refugee host country in Africa, with over 1 million refugees, mainly from South Sudan, who called the country home. Instead of turning them away, Ugandan Ambassador to the United States, Mulkatende, says his country has a welcoming model.
What we call a Uganda model is an African model. In Africa, when people are in distress, their brothers, their sisters, you welcome them.
But conditions in many refugee camps are not good. Late last year, UNHCR spokesperson Babar Baloche said in the Nakivale settlement in southwest Uganda, thousands of refugee families are using overcrowded communal latrines with risk of disease outbreaks, little privacy, and exposure of women and children in particular to protection risk. She said lack of funding is largely to blame for those conditions. But Uganda's open-door policy gives refugees a chance to incorporate themselves onto society, according to Katende.
We give them freedom. They can move anywhere in the country. And if they are lucky to get some jobs, they can go and do those jobs. Others go into enterprises. Some succeed. No Ugandan will meet someone and say, you are a refugee, don't do this. That's about our motto. But most importantly, a refugee has a permanent home. When he has this situation, time does not stop. If he's a child, he has to go to school. If he's a mature person, he has to earn income and meet obligations. We believe that it is important that refugees are given skills so that even after that situation, when they return home, they integrate easily.
Katende says Uganda believes it's important for refugees to be given skills so they are able to integrate easily once they decide to return home. Speaking at the same event, Wilson Matugaiwa Kajumula Masilingi, ambassador of the United Republic of Tanzania to the U.S., agrees that this is the African model.
In Tanzania, we don't believe in this concept of refugees because it is foreign to us. If there weren't these artificial borders, we wouldn't have this thing called refugees. Why call a brother and a sister a refugee when he's moving away from trouble? And you are hosting him in order to save him, which is a moral duty, a humanitarian duty, which I would call upon everyone. Everyone in this room can become a refugee, an internally displaced person, one way or another.
This model not only helps boost local economies, but helps refugees in the long run, according to Katende, who says if refugees are lucky enough to get a job, they will be able to return to their home country with training and be able to provide for their families. Ayen Dengbior, VOA News, Washington.
Sudan has shut down the offices of the international broadcaster Al Jazeera. The Qatari television station said its office was suddenly closed yesterday and its journalist banned from reporting in Sudan. Al Jazeera bureau director Al-Musalim Al-Kabashi told the French news agency that the country's military council withdrew the network's licenses with no reasons given. The news operator has regularly reported on Sudanese demonstrations for civilian rule. It is supported by the Qatari government, which has been an ally of ousted President Omar Hassan al-Bashir. In a statement, the network called the closure an attack on media freedom and, quote, the basic tenets of the right for the people to know what is happening in Sudan. Protesters have been holding a sit-in since April 6, demanding the military to hand power to civilians. The demonstrators have been sustained through lengthy negotiations and donations of food and drinks, many distributed by tea seller Awadia Mahmoud. But Mahmoud is no ordinary vendor, as we hear from Muhammad Al-Amin in Khartoum.
Awadia Mahmoud begins her day at 5 in the morning next to Khartoum University, across from Sudan's defense ministry, surrounded by thousands of protesters. Wearing a blue top, a traditional Sudanese robe with head covering, and sitting in the middle of a makeshift kitchen, the 61 years old and four young female aides cook up to 10,000 meals daily. the women cook potatoes, vegetable, beans, and weikar, a traditional Sudanese dish made with dry meat. Supported by donations from food makers, Mahmoud has been distributing the free meals for protesters since April 12, a day after the military ousted President Omar al-Bashir from 3 decades in power. The protesters are demanding the Transitional Military Council hand power to civilians. The military has agreed, but only if it can hold the majority of seats on a ruling council, which protest leaders reject. While the standoff drags out, protesters as a sit-in depend on Mahmoud's support. She says the youth who are guarding the barricades need food and drinks so they can be strong enough to stay there the whole night. The tea and other drinks from Mahmoud and her team are key for protesters to avoid dehydration. Most days, the temperature in Khartoum peaks above 40 degrees or 104 degrees Fahrenheit. Protester Wael Muhammad Abdullah says Mahmoud is not just giving them sustenance, but also inspiration. We regularly come to eat at the place of Aunt Awadiya, the mother of our revolution, he says. She makes everything, including food, tea, coffee, and other drinks. She helps us a lot, says Abdullah, and is here until dinner and sometimes even late into the night. So we really appreciate her spirit of camaraderie, he says. Mahmoud understands the hardship faced by those who take on the power of the Sudanese state from personal experience. She was among hundreds of thousands displaced by conflict in Sudan's South Kordofan region on the border with South Sudan and became a roadside tea seller to support her family. It's not the first time Mahmoud has taken a lead role and been recognized as an inspiration. Mahmoud founded the Women's Food and Tea Sellers Cooperative, which represents thousands of displaced and migrant women who depend on selling tea to survive. The U.S. State Department in 2016 gave her the International Women of Courage Award for supporting women, tea sellers, and other informal professions. An assistant to Mahmoud, Muna Alamin, says she is optimistic that with their help, Sudan's revolution against tyranny can be achieved. We come to serve our nation, says Alamin, and we ask God to help us achieve our goals of freedom, peace, and justice for all the Sudanese people. Despite Sudanese security forces' attempts to clear the sit-in by force, Mahmoud and her team insist they will keep serving meals to protesters until they reach their shared goals, a return to democracy. We came here to help our sons and daughters in creating a new Sudan that we dream to make, says Mahmoud. A new Sudan that treats all of us as equal citizens and gives us free health care and education. She stressed that a new government should support Sudan's poor people, end oppression, drop all laws against women, and increase its female representation. Until those goals are achieved, says Mahmoud, they will keep serving food and tea to protesters. Muhammad Alamin for Voice of America, Khartoum.
You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, African free trade deal is in effect, but is it going to work? Find out more when we come back after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what role does music play in your life?
To me, music is the harmonious voice of creation. An echo of an invisible world, a food of soul. When everything has gone against me, it is only music that sends a message to me that I have to keep going.
It depends on the type of music, but it actually has a big role in my life because, for example, whenever I'm sad, I feel like nothing else can make me happy apart from listening or singing.
When I'm happy, it doubles my happiness when I listen to some good music, and also when I'm sad and listen to sad music, doubled the sadness. So music plays a big role in my life.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. The African Continental Free Trade Agreement went into effect yesterday. So far, 24 countries out of 54 have ratified the agreement. But as Muhammad Yusuf reports for VOA from Nairobi, trade experts say a lack of proper infrastructure and some countries' laws may hinder implementation of the deal.
The plan was signed at the African Union summit in Kigali in 2016 after 4 years of negotiations. Burkina Faso is the latest country to sign the plan, designed to allow free trade across the continent. The agreement aims to facilitate the free movement of goods and people. If successful, experts say it will boost African economies and give the continent a better chance to compete in global trade markets. Charles Kahudu is the head of the East African Chamber of Commerce, Industry and Agriculture. He says African countries trading among themselves will benefit the continent.
Africa Continental Free Trade Area, if we use that framework to increase or boost intra-Africa trade, will mean value addition for our raw materials. Those natural resources that we have abundant of, instead of in fact exporting them to be in raw form, we shall use the demand within a continent to be able to process them in a manner that our own consumers within Africa continent can use.
With imported goods flooding the African market from countries in Asia, mostly China, some African countries have been putting into place mechanisms and laws to protect their farmers and industries. Fred Muhunza teaches economics at the University of Makerere in Kampala.
A lot of our infrastructure is outward looking. We do not have transport infrastructure by way of rails, roads, airports, and air travel that link Africa with Africa for purposes of trade. A lot of our trade is looking beyond Africa, outside Africa.
He also says African countries have been coming up with some measures to block other goods.
We have a number of local laws that are coming in against foreign free trade, which is going to be a detail. We also have standards. Much of Africa doesn't have a common standard. So if a country decides to use a non-tariff measure, they just have to decide and say, well, your standard is not good enough, so you are not going to go through.
30 African countries have yet to sign the continent's trade agreement. Signatories have until July to find ways to make the deal work. Mohamed Yusuf for VOA News, Nairobi.
Still in Kenya, Kenya is facing one of the worst stretches of drought in years, causing underdevelopment, fights over water and fears of starvation. However, a village in western Kenya is using a high technology solution to address water scarcity with so-called digital wells in a bid to improve local livelihood and prevent waste. Maggie Njugi has the story for VOA from Nakuru County, Kenya.
In Nakuru County, Solai Village, a group of women carry jerrycans to the local well to collect water. Solai villagers have long been dependent on seasonal rivers and salty lakes Solai for their animals and irrigation. But drought ravaging much of Kenya has reduced the local river into a stream. Residents like Ansha Sire say the drilling of the so-called digital wells in December has been a lifesaver. Previously, she says, they would have to wake up very early to beat the queue at the watering hole, which is kilometers away. The water was salty, says Chesire, but since receiving the new taps, she says, life has become so much easier. World Vision Kenya and the Nakuru County government funded the wells, giving residents access to clean drinking water, but also using a high-tech solution to prevent waste. Villagers use cards fitted with microchips and preloaded with money to dispense and pay for the water, helping to fund the cost of drilling wells. Charles Kimutai is a Chepkululu Water Project chairman. He says the card system has been very helpful since he no longer has to chase people down to get them to pay their water bill. The project has brought much-needed water closer to home and extra income for locals, like mother of two, Brenda Chemgetich. She says she is now growing vegetables in her backyard, which she also sells. It has helped her sustain a comfortable livelihood, says Chemgetich. Nakuru Governor Lee Kinyanjui called on residents of Salai to take advantage of the new water access to grow and sell produce.
As we move forward, we'll want to get the water not just in the water kiosks, but even closer to their homes and actually into their homes eventually.
Project Manager for World Vision Kenya, John Mwaura, says they have built 11 boreholes and water dispensing machines in the area since December 2018.
Since we entered, life has changed. Since, as per evaluation report that we did, we entered when the access to water was at 37%. And to date, we have gone to 54%. So we can say this is an achievement, and all this achievement is because of the projects that World Vision is doing. And we hope to go far with the partnership that we are going to do with the government.
For the villagers of Solai, the access to clean, safe drinking water has literally taken a load off their backs. Maggie Njuki for VOA News, Nakuru County.
A boat carrying 125 Somali refugees fleeing insecurity in Yemen arrived in the Somali port of Berbera Thursday. The voyage was organized by the UN Refugee Agency and partners in cooperation with authorities in Yemen and Somalia. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from UNHCR headquarters in Geneva.
This is the 33rd departure of Somali refugees from Yemen since the UN Refugee Agency and humanitarian partners began the so-called Assisted Spontaneous Return Program in 2017. To date, nearly 4,300 Somali refugees have returned home. Yemen is still hosting 250,000 Somali refugees who fled there to escape conflict and drought in their country. The security they once found in Yemen has vanished. 4 years of civil war in Yemen has turned that country into what the United Nations calls the world's worst humanitarian crisis. Refugees are feeling increasingly insecure and fearful for their lives as conditions in Yemen deteriorate. UN refugee spokesman Baba Balar says many refugees face hardship and lack access to basic services. He tells VOA they feel insecure and want to leave.
With the conflict going on in Yemen, refugees have been targeted. We just recently, last week, announced civilian casualties, including refugees. Life is becoming tough, and the situation inside Yemen is worsening. Many of these refugees are coming forward to be helped return home.
Inside Yemen, Balar says the UNHCR and partners help Somali refugees gather the documents they need and provide transportation and financial support to facilitate their journey home. When they arrive in Somalia, he says the returnees receive assistance to reintegrate into their communities and to help them get started in their new lives. Balar says it is up to the returnees where they want to go. Some go to home villages, others find it too unsafe and go to Mogadishu to see if they can start a new life. He acknowledges that Somalia still has its own problems with conflict, instability, and drought, the factors that drove many Somalis to Yemen in the first place. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
You're still listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, John. The South Sudan government lashed out at the UN Security Council after renewing sanctions on South Sudan for another year, including an arms embargo. 5 of the 15 Security Council members abstained, including 3 African countries. A South Sudan official warns continuing sanctions could negatively impact implementation of the peace deal. The council says the decision will pressure the government to implement the deal. South Sudan Information Minister Michael McQuay also accused those who voted in favor of the sanctions of being opposed to peace in South Sudan and of emboldening holdout groups. At a recent U.S. Institute of Peace event in Washington, Uganda's ambassador to the U.S. said his government's policy of including refugees into the country's social and economic fabric is an approach that helps local communities, economies, as well as ensuring that refugees can return home with working skills. Uganda is the largest refugee host country in Africa, with over 1 million refugees. Most of them are from South Sudan. The ambassador says his country has a welcoming model that encourages refugees to integrate into society. But conditions in many refugee camps are not good. Late last year, a UNHCR official said of a settlement in southwest Uganda, thousands of refugee families are using overcrowded communal latrines with the risk of disease outbreaks, little privacy, and exposure of women in particular to protection risks. And finally, Sudan has shut down the offices of international broadcaster Al Jazeera. The Qatari TV station said its office was suddenly closed yesterday and its journalists banned from reporting in the country. Al Jazeera bureau director Al-Musalamami Al-Kabashi told the French news agency that the country's military council withdrew the network's license with no reason given. The news operation has regularly reported on Sudanese demonstrations for civilian rule. It's supported by the Qatari government, which has been an ally of ousted President Omar al-Bashir. In a statement, the network called the closure an attack on media freedom and on the basic tenets of the right for the people to know what is happening in Sudan. And that's the latest look at the headlines. I'm Carol Van Dam.
That's our show for this Friday. We now leave you with the song Si Uracha Mukunda by King James. This song is dedicated to our listeners from Rwanda, wherever they are in South Sudan.
Iyumubonye uhinduka nkureba iyo tumuvuze kwifata ntubibasha nyamara umbwira ko ubari ngenge nyine ukunda ese kuki yabije muhinduka ndabizi wamukunze mbere yanjye ariko nibikuraho kungubura uwanjye ndagusabye mbwira ikintu kimwe ese uracyamukunda nizere ko ibyibuze unyumva naje mu buzima bwawe nawe waje mu bwanjye hari ibyo twikomwa ngo tudakomeretsanya niba koko unkunda zibukira nkwiharire ndabizi wamukunze mbere yanjye ariko nibikuraho kungubura uwanjye ndagusabye mbwira ikintu kimwe ese.
We've been listening to King James with the song Si Uracha Mukunda, which means, do you still love me? I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. If you have any comment about this show, our email is southsudan@voanews.com. If you are traveling outside Juba Town where there is no FM station, you can still listen to us on shortwave. Our frequencies are 11850 kHz, 13865 kHz and 1510 kHz. We hope you have a peaceful weekend. Join us again on Monday for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Ariko nibikuraho kungubura child.